Welcome again to the Pyrenees Heartwork Podcast. I'm Dr. Scott Taransky, and I'm here today with Elena Svetslot from the Netherlands, and we are here to talk to you about parenting. And we are in particular looking at some resources and tools that come from the Home Improvement book. We're going to talk today about a very important concept. We're going to talk about the positive conclusion and how it can bring significant change in your family.
Hi, Dr. Scott. Hi, everyone. It's really great to be together and talk again about one of my favorite tools when it comes to parenting, and something that has actually changed my parenting style and my life, actually, I would say. I am a person who is who has a hard time getting over upsetment. So not only for myself, but also for my child, this has been such a tremendously important tool. So yes, I'm very excited to talk about positive conclusion. The positive conclusion. Dr. Scott, what would you, how would you introduce this to someone who hasn't heard about it before?
Well, I was just talking to a parent this week who started using the positive conclusion, and they were really pleased because it cuts down on the lecturing that takes place in the correction process. Mm-hmm. They said she used to lecture a lot, she's tempted to do that, and she feels like that's not a good idea. So she wanted to do some different things and learn how to respond differently. And then also it kind of scripts the whole process of moving children toward change and what repentance looks like in practical terms. So I think that that's what it is. Now, it's really a technique. It's a technique that we developed that comes out of our understanding of repentance, what repentance is, and how God developed that as a way for change. And then we broke it down developmentally so that children could actually process this effectively on their level. So we use it with young children. We use it with, well, one mom told me she used it with her 18 and 19-year-old and went very well. What it does is it clarifies the dialogue a bit and takes children through a process of repentance. We'll talk about that more as we go in, I'm sure, today. But it's this technique. It's a technique that's very helpful to end discipline times in a positive way.
Yeah, I think for me, what really is at the base of this is the relationship between children and parents. And I think every time when there is a consequence or there is something in the air that the children have done that's not the right thing, and they went, for example, into the break, coming back from that, it can be a bit of a question mark. And sometimes if parents don't know how to come out of that situation, that can really bring a lot of strain on the relationship. And we want to have good relationship with our children, right? I think it's so important that the relationship stays strong and we show love, even in the moments when we have to discipline. So for me, relationship, the importance of the relationship, it's been such a strong help to help me understand how to use this technique, Dr. Scott. Is that something that you see also with other parents?
Definitely. In fact, it's not only improves the relationship between parent and child in the correction process, but it also helps the child deal with the lingering tension that's felt. So a child, when they've done the wrong thing, knows they've done the wrong thing, and they want to get back on track. And of course, God wants us to get back on track. And so ending discipline times with a positive conclusion is strategic. In fact, we recommend that parents use the positive conclusion many, many times a day. Every time you correct or redirect a child, you use the positive conclusion. It is also a learning tool because it's helping children to foresee what they might do the next time they find themselves in this very same situation. Because isn't it true that our children have these patterns of relating? And if they're unkind in this moment, we're going to process that so they can deal with the next time they feel like they want to be unkind. So it has a lot of ramifications for change, and parents have really appreciated it over the years. So positive conclusion is a great technique. It has three questions and a statement, and that helps parents to know exactly what to do.
Yeah, I would like to get into that. But before we do that, I really want to point out some of the things, something you mentioned in the book, which I really think it's so helpful and so important. The positive conclusion, and I'm quoting here, can clarify the difference between punishment and discipline, which is so important, especially when our children are younger, but also when they start growing older. It's so important. And I'm going to quote here, which something I found very interesting and I actually really believe in. Punishment is negative, discipline is positive. Punishment is often motivated by anger, discipline is motivated by love. I think the positive conclusion turns what otherwise might be punishment into a constructive learning experience. So I would love to talk, Dr. Scott, about the steps and how can we actually make this change and the difference. So shall we get started talking about the steps?
I think so. Let's make it clear, though, that we don't try to use the positive conclusion when a child's angry or upset. Mm. It's best to have them separate, maybe take a break for a bit. When they settle down and we see that their countenance has changed, then they're ready to go through a positive conclusion. Otherwise, it just becomes this this dialogue, which can become more heated. So we want a child to be ready to dialogue. And when we do, then we go to the first question. Now, the first question we ask a child when they come back and they're ready to talk about it is, what did you do wrong? Now, this particular question is a strategic question because this takes us into confession. This is God's idea. This is a biblical approach. When you've done something wrong, what do you do first? You confess that. And so by asking the child, what did you do wrong? We're actually addressing that very important part of what God wants in the change process.
Yeah, I think that's so important. A lot of the time parents are asking children, the first thing they ask when after the child has done something wrong, why did you do that? It's such an impulse question that comes out almost thought about. So yes, I think that's so important. And actually, the second question that we will discuss is that we should talk to our children, why is that wrong? Which I think it's so much a better question. So we start, what did you do wrong? To ask our child to kind of repent and look at their own behavior or their own heart. And then we ask the question, why is that wrong? And that doesn't necessarily, ask the children why they did it. Of course, it points out towards their, the bigger picture, the heart, the change we want to make. If we have, for example, agreed with the children that they should obey, for example. So I really like that question, why is that wrong?
Yes, you know, the first question, what did you do wrong, focuses on behavior. Mm. I yelled, I ran away, I hit. It focuses on behavior. The second question focuses on the deeper issue, as you say. It's the heart issue. I wasn't being kind, or I was being selfish, or it was dishonest. Those are very important questions because they take us deeper. And of course, we're not just interested in the behavior of our children, as God is interested also in the heart so much. We too want to be drawing our attention to children on a heart level. Now, sometimes parents will say, well, my children won't answer these questions. And to which I would say, well, maybe your child needs to go sit in a break for a little bit longer until mm-hmm. they're ready. Or maybe the child just, you know, you ask, what did you do wrong? And the child doesn't remember what they did wrong. Maybe they've been sitting in a break for a while and now they've come back and they don't remember what they did wrong. Or they did so many things wrong, they don't know where to start. I mean, so I think sometimes when children don't know what to say, or even if they're embarrassed to say it, we can tell them, we say, here's what you did wrong. You hit your brother. Now, I'm going to ask you the question again. We don't just want them to agree to that. We want them to say the words. That's what confession is. So I'm going to ask you the question again. What did you do wrong? In this way, we are teasing out the difference between I don't know and I'm unwilling. Hmm. If a child's unwilling, they probably need to go back and sit in a break for a while until their heart changes and they are willing to dialogue about it. If they've forgotten, then we want to equip them so they know, and all they're doing is repeating the answer. And that then is going to help move us in that direction. See, I think also when parents ask the wrong questions, they ask questions like, why did you do it? Mm. Or who started it? I think they inadvertently encourage defensiveness in the part of their children. Because children then, well, I'll tell you why I did it, because she hit me or she took my toy I was playing with. And so now we're embroiled in this discussion about who started it or why the child did it. And I think those conversations usually are unproductive. So it's better to just be straight out and ask the question, what did you do wrong? And when the child says, well, we'll talk about her in a minute. Mm. Let's talk about what you did wrong first, Because even if you have a child, two children fighting, you have two selfish children. I mean, a child may only be 10% at fault, but let's deal with that 10%. Because you don't hit a child, somebody else, if they've taken your toy. There's a different response you can have, even if the other child is wrong. And so what we're trying to do is help children take responsibility for their part of the problem.
Absolutely. I think that's such an important part, especially for parents who have more than one child. When arguing together or having conversations that are not in full agreement, it's such a good tool to use separately with each of the children. Now, the third step in this technique is the question, what are you going to do differently next time? And I really like this because this is bringing hope to me. In my mind, is bringing this, we leave this behind, what happened? What are you going to do differently? So we kind of turn around and look at the future and give the child a possibility to reimagine and to make a plan for the next time. And it's true that most of the time, children don't do the thing they said they will, but it's such a good opportunity to practice for them to come out of that negative outlook or that idea that, you know, they are not able to change so fast as they could, and look at the future and just put hope in their hearts. How are you thinking about this, Dr. Scott?
Yes, I agree. That's why we call it a positive conclusion, because now what the child is doing is focusing on how we're going to handle the next times of life, because the next times will always come. We're always going to be tempted to hit the next time or be unkind or say some mean words or ignore mom or something like that. And what are we going to do the next time? Now, this is an important question because it helps children to prepare themselves for those next times. If we just tell children, stop it, stop it, stop it all the time, that doesn't really help them for the next times when they're tempted in the same way. So when we ask the child, what are you going to do differently next time? Some children would say, I don't know, at which point we have a great opportunity to develop a plan. Well, let's talk about what are you going to do the next time your brother takes your toy? Because what he's doing is wrong. We need to have a plan that doesn't involve hitting him. Or what are you going to do the next time I tell you to get off the computer when you don't want to? How are you going to handle that? So we go back, and when we're helping children visualize or imagine what the next thing is to do, then we're going to equip them really for the next time. So it really turns the corner here, helps us move to a more positive side of parenting.
Yeah, I really like that, like I said. And what I really like also in your book is that you give advice and really practical advice for children at different ages and also for parents, for adults. So it's so important actually to think about a positive conclusion. Also for older children, we at this point focus a bit more on younger children, but when children are a bit older, probably most effective would be to have a conversation based on the same kind of process. But definitely worth having a read in the book or a listen of your book to hear in more details how can that go. All right, so let's focus now on the last step, which I think is really important because it gives the chance, you know, doing something can help with learning much, much more and faster and better. So the last thing we do, part of the process, is we ask the child to go ahead and try again. So we can give them the opportunity to show us and to practice actually doing the right thing. So, which I think is really good. And I've used this so many times with my children. So yeah, it's really nice to have that at the end. Dr. Scott, what would you add about the last step?
Well, sometimes we do actually practice the next thing. In other words, what we say, okay, I think you know what to do. Let's go back in the kitchen. Ask me for a snack again. I'm going to say no again and show me the right response. So sometimes we do that. Sometimes we just make a statement to a child that says, okay, go ahead and try again. And in other words, go back into life and experience life again. In other words, what we're doing for a child is we're saying, all right, this problem is done and over with. I think you can learn from this. Let's go forward. Let's start fresh. I think this is a real conscience-freeing statement for children to hear in their own lives. They need to hear the sense that, okay, this I've learned from this mistake. I can go forward. I think it's kind of like what Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery. Mm-hmm. Go and sin no more. It's this At the end of a discipline time, children need this kind of statement that it's over. Mm. I think sometimes after the positive conclusion is over, we do need to have, we do need to do an apology, or we need to have reconciliation, or we need to do restitution sometimes, or maybe there's even a consequence. Mm. But the positive conclusion helps children go through a process that will help them for the rest of their lives. See, I use the positive conclusion in my life regularly. When I make a mistake, I say, all right, what did I do wrong? Why was that wrong? What am I going to do differently next time? Okay, go ahead and try again. I want to do that instead of the kind of beating oneself up. You know, there's some people, they make a mistake and they just beat themselves up, they're upset, and they just have a hard time recovering. God offers us forgiveness. And as he offers us forgiveness, we must also forgive ourselves. I think that this whole process of the positive conclusion, when a child lives with that as a teenager or as a child, they learn a tremendous amount about life and making mistakes. Mistakes aren't always bad. I mean, yeah, mistakes are bad, but we learn from them. They can be learning experiences. If we just leave it as a mistake, then yeah, it's a mistake. But if we learn from it, it's a lesson. So I think that children can develop this mentality about correction, mentality about mistakes they make that can be much more positive. I think more God-honoring, more in line with the way God works with his people to have fresh starts, to move forward. The positive conclusion just walks parents through that process so they can do it more effectively with their children.
Yes, so important technique to have in our toolkit as parents. And, you know, as parents, you might think it takes longer, it's effort, but it's really worth it. Just like Dr. Scott says in the book, it is worth it. It's an investment. It's a life investment. It's a skill that's a life skill, not only used when the children are young, but also when they become adults. So do give it a try. You'll be surprised how quickly you go through the questions and what a relief you feel at the end together with your child. So we encourage you to use this tool. We encourage you to have a listen for the book, or please go ahead and get the paper version, which is available on biblicalparenting.org. Together with many other resources. Thank you, Dr. Scott, for today. It's been such a tremendous lesson. And parents, if you want to hear more about the break, we will have an episode coming explaining and going into more detail about that next time. So until then, God bless you.
Thank you, Elena. You're doing a good job. I look forward to what we're going to say next time.